You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barrichini, and Alex Hopton.
Well, good evening. Well, good morning, folks. An early version of the Sticks in the Six quick shifts brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. As you can see, these quick shifts I usually do on my own. Alex and Peter, I'm sure, are in bed getting ready for game two tomorrow between our Leafs and the Boston Bruins. I wanted to do a post-game show after game one. Unfortunately, didn't get around to it. Two young kids. Anybody out there with young kids kind of knows what that's all about. That said, I did want to get on here and talk a little bit about the numbers, some of the stuff we saw in game one. I think the score, when you look at it, 5-1, definitely isn't indicative of, you know, how the Leafs played and how the game went for the Maple Leafs. And, you know, it wasn't an ideal outcome, obviously, 5-1, but it's the modus operandi. It's what we're used to as Leaf fans. We've seen what this team does. Unfortunately, in many cases, you know, we've seen them go down 1-0 in series, when, especially in recent memory. They haven't won a 7-game series against the Boston Bruins since 1959. Obviously, recency bias kind of dictates that the Leafs are bound for another first round series loss. But you know, the conversation right now is not about what's going to happen in the rest of the series. The conversation right now is that this is the exact same thing we saw last year. The Leafs got pummeled in game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Came back and, you know, figured things out a little bit, got past them in the first round. And, you know, amongst Leaf fans, the hope is that's going to be the same outcome as this series progresses. That said, you know, there is a little bit that we want to look at from game one. And as you can see with the title, what the fuck happened in game one for the Maple Leafs and Sheldon Keefe. Let's get this out of the way. First period, 48 hits. The two teams combined for 48 hits. That's something that we talked about a lot on the podcast going in, was that the Leafs were going to have to show a physical presence to make this game, to make this series something that other than what we've seen in the past against the Bruins. And they did that. 48 hits was tied for the most hits in any period of any NHL game this season. The only other game to see that was actually the Leafs and Bruins on March 7th when they had 48 hits in the first period. So these two teams are no stranger to physical play. They're no stranger to adding that physicality, that rivalry we're so used to in that Atlantic Division. And the Leafs realistically needed to get that physical aspect of their game in there early. You know, so often it's been the Leafs who are dainty and pull up on hits and, you know, maybe don't have that same physical presence that other teams have had in the past. We saw it against Florida last season. Obviously, guys like Dewar, guys like Reeves, you know, we've seen a little bit more from McCabe. Labushkin was brought back. So they made that effort in trying to become more of a physical presence in games. And obviously, first period, you set the tone. That's going to be a talking point for the rest of the series is, you know, do the Leafs need to get back to the game that we were used to seeing them play this year, where it was offensively driven rather than that hard nose physical aspect? That's just not their game. And I understand that playoffs is a different story. I understand that, you know, playoffs, it's something else, you know, it's a different type of game. But at the same time, you know, this isn't the same Bruins that they've seen in years past. There is no Bergeron. There is no Krejci. They still have some physical players. And obviously they brought in the big rig, Patty Maroon. And he's gonna make himself felt as well. Trent Frederick's another guy that's going to make himself felt. the Leafs can do that and play a physical game, but still maintain the game that they've played all season long. And that's something that, you know, we want the Leafs to get back to in game two, in game three, and so on and so forth. I do think that at the end of the season, you know, I have to agree with Sheldon Keefe that 70 goals for Auston Matthews became more of a focal point. They were so devoted. After he scored 69, I believe he had 22 shots on goal following his 69th goal, that it became almost like a focal point for the Leafs to try and get him 70 goals rather than focus on, you know, what's at stake and what's to come in the playoffs. They knew they were going to play Florida or Boston. It was just a matter of who they were going to play in the first round. Either way, they're opponents that they're familiar with, but they're also opponents that, you know, bring a different type of hockey come playoff time, that physical game that we just talked about. And the Leafs didn't focus enough on that. Over the last week of the season, they focused on that 70th goal, and it became a little bit of a distraction, so much so that, you know, there's conversations that Nylander's 100 points became also a distraction. Obviously, no Nylander in game one. The story behind that is just so odd. An apparent injury that he tweaked off the ice. So many question marks. Was it, you know, maybe his play in game 82? This is a guy who hasn't missed a game in, what, 6-7 years? Due to injury, and all of a sudden he misses game one of the playoffs against the Boston Bruins. It just something smells fishy, and where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So, I mean, that's something we saw that, you know, Chris Johnston tweeted out today that Nylander was on the ice for a very optional skate. I think there was maybe 10 players in the photo that he posted, and William Nylander was one of them. And so you wonder how much the personal milestones at the end of the season became focal points for these players, focal points for the team. And they really got away from playing the game that's made them successful to this point, that got them to the 69 points, that got Nylander to the 69 goals and got Nylander to the 98 points. Another aspect of the game that I noticed, especially in game one, was penalties. And you know, we can sit here and bitch and moan about officiating all we want. At the end of the day, the officiating wasn't the make or break instance of the game. Matthews' high stick in the offensive zone was a backbreaker. Put them up 3-0. There just was not enough discipline against a team that can be so successful on the power play. And this is a team that Marchand's gone 40 games without a power play goal. Pastrnak's gone, I believe it's like 28 games without a power play goal. So at any point, those two could pop off as well. And instead, it was secondary scoring for the Boston Bruins, something that the Leafs saw a little bit of with David Kampf getting the lone goal for them. But the penalties were big. It definitely played a role in the Leafs, you know, not getting the job done in game one. 12-8 were the penalty minutes. Samsonov seemed off. There was really no D. You know, Samsonov didn't stand a chance on the first goal, the 2-on-1 break that just, you know, the defense went down too early. The pass got across and Samsonov didn't stand a chance. But first shot of the game, first goal of the game. And that's something that obviously is, you know, it's depleting to a team. It's depleting to a goaltender when a team can score on the first shot. So discipline's going to be a major focal point for the Leafs in tomorrow's game. Well, tonight's game, I guess. We're talking at 1:43 on Monday morning. But another thing to look at is their play in their own end. Five plus goals given up in each of their past five games. It's the first time the Leafs have had a five-game losing streak since November 19th of 2019. So we're dating back nearly 5 years. 5 years they haven't had a five-game losing streak. All of a sudden, they lose four going into the playoffs. They lose game one against their rival Boston Bruins. And in each of those five games, they've given up five plus goals. Samsonov hasn't looked good. I have to wonder if you jump to Joseph Woll on game two. Obviously, the speculation around Matt Murray having come back for his conditioning stint with the Marlies is something that has been talked about. I doubt you throw Matt Murray into the fire with the Leafs now in the playoffs. I can't see that being an option. You've got Martin Jones as a backup. His numbers haven't been overly satisfying over the last couple of seasons. His career numbers aren't overly satisfying. So you're at a crossroads now. Do you stay with Samsonov? Do you go with Joseph Woll? For me, I think you have to stick with Samsonov. That's the choice you made going into the playoffs. The second you don't start him for game two, there goes his confidence. I mean, at the end of the day, the Leafs have him signed till the end of the season. That's it. So if you knock his confidence, boom, you let him go. You find the next Maple Leafs goaltender, maybe in free agency. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look at the options. But through two periods, the Leafs expected goals for was 3.46. The Bruins were at 287. The score, however, was 4-0. Something tells me from those numbers that Samsonov, one, wasn't getting enough help in his own end, but two, wasn't playing to the caliber that the Leafs need him to get a W, especially when you're talking about playoff hockey. You had Matthews, who hit a crossbar. That's 12 posts or crossbars hit in 51 career postseason games since 2017. He's tied with Nikita Kucherov with 12 posts hit over that span. The difference, Kucherov's done it in 97 games. Matthews has done it in 51. But we have to go back to this Nylander thing. It's wild to think that a 40-goal scorer has been held out of the lineup for a tweak. It's wild to th and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going to sit here and try and blow smoke up your ass trying to come up with reasons as to why he was out of the lineup. There is some speculation that it was because of his play in game 82. There's some speculation that he tweaked something. Chris Johnson had a great article in The Athletic discussing what he knows of the quote unquote injury from sources close to the situation. At the end of the day, the Leafs need to find a way to get Nylander in the lineup. They need that balanced scoring. They need those three lines. There's talk that maybe you put Matthews and Marner back together at some point. I don't know if that's the right call. One thing that did come up, obviously, was Yarncroke coming back for his first game in God knows how long, and somehow he got more ice time than Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi. I look at that and I wonder, Tyler Bertuzzi, a former Bruin, albeit for a short period of time, would have more fight to get a win against his former club, would want to be on the power play, would possibly help the Leafs power play, especially with the run that he had over the last 2 to 3 weeks of the regular season. So that brings me to the fan question, or the listener question that we had this week following game one. And it comes from at Jory Osmond on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call that now. And he says, who can we bring in to replace Keefe in game two? So a little cheeky with the notion of getting rid of your coach following a game one loss. And I know Leafs Nation wants to panic, and don't get me wrong, I was pissed off with the game one loss, especially with the score that the way it ended up. But I have to believe that if the Leafs can't get out of the first round, Sheldon Keefe is a casualty. I have to believe that the decisions that were made, TJ Brody was held out, Mark Giordano was held out. There were question marks in game one about the defensive zone play. Could TJ Brody have made a difference? Possibly. We've seen him be on and off this season. And then obviously the question marks around William Nylander, around Tyler Bertuzzi's ice time, around Max Domi's ice time, around Cale Yarncroke's ice time following his return to the lineup. There's a ton of questions going into game two. And while I know it's easy to sit here and panic and throw the first round bias bullshit out that the Leafs aren't going to make it out of the first round once again, then you get a quote from Ryan Reeves who says the Leafs are going to take it with a Hakuna Matata approach. And the past is the past, you put it behind you and you move forward. And you have to. They said that TD Garden was one of the most difficult arenas to play when it comes to playoffs because you suddenly get into your own head, you can't get out of it, the fans are on you, everything's just in your face, and yet the Bruins have home ice advantage. So at some point, the Leafs have to figure it out in TD Garden. If they want to get past this first round, they want to extend their season, they have to figure out what to do in TD Garden in Boston. How do you get past the fans? How do you make a change mentally to get yourselves in a position to win a game away from, Scotiabank Arena? This is a team who set a franchise mark for wins on the road this season, and now they've got to get it done in game two in one of the more difficult arenas in the league, maybe. But those Boston fans are ruthless. They want that win. They want their team to succeed, as does any fan base, and they're loud. So it's going to be an important game too on Monday night. There are going to be some shifts. Obviously, Sheldon Keefe wasn't willing to divulge too much in his press conference. I like, as Alex said on X, if any of you follow Alex on X, he noted, "Why even have a press conference when your response is going to be, 'I have no update, I have no update, I have no update.'" It was very Marshawn Lynchy of the "I'm just here so I don't get fined." That was what made that. That's what I thought about when I saw Sheldon Keefe's press conference. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting day heading into puck drop, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Get those jerseys on. Scream as loud as you can, grab a beer, have some fun, and cheer on the boys in blue, because they need to find a way to get it done in TD Garden. Just before we close it out here, just a quick word from our fine sponsors at DraftKings Sportsbook. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. If you take a look now at DraftKings, I guarantee you that the odds for the Leafs to win the cup has even grown. It's exponentially grown now that they're down 1-0 in their series against the Boston Bruins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Term and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights are reserved. And folks, I know there's only a few of you watching tonight or this morning. Like I said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just wanted to get a quick shifts in and talk a little bit about what the fuck happened in game one. So if you have some insight as to what you think went wrong for the Maple Leafs in game one, make sure you comment below on YouTube or hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on, you know, TikTok. We're on TikTok. We're live a lot on TikTok. The more followers we get, the sooner we can get to do live shows on TikTok as well. Or just reach out via email or however you might see fit to make sure you share your thoughts on game one. Game two goes Monday night, so tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you're tuning in. Make sure you're wearing that blue jersey. Make sure you're, you know, cheering on the boys, because a big game two win is going to go a long way as they head back home to Scotiabank Arena for game three. For those that did tune in tonight, I appreciate it. We're going to try and do a little bit more of these quick shifts, whether they're post-game or pre-game or just randomly throughout the week. But let's take this moment and remind ourselves we're going to go into game two with that Ryan Reeves, Hakuna Matata mentality. Game one is behind us. Game two is around the corner. Let's get at it. Make sure you follow us on any social media. We're going to go live again on Wednesday with the three of us to talk more Leafs playoff hockey. Hopefully a couple wins in the books as well. Until then, make sure you check out the Hockey Podcast Network for all of your hockey content. There's all kinds of shows, including a new podcast focusing on the move of the Arizona Coyotes to Utah and Salt Lake City, and it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good show, I can tell already. Episode one dropped a couple days ago, so make sure you tune into that and check out our partners at DraftKings and IndieAlos for all your goodies. Until next time, good morning, good night, go Leafs go, Hakuna Matata.